Life and the World. Your editor, substituting for Frank Blair, is Leon Pearson.
Good evening. Tonight, the Tunisian crisis, bowling, and the hoopla king of St. Petersburg, Florida. Within the next 24 hours, there will be the second anniversary of Tunisia's independence. This has been made a deadline by President Habib Bourguiba in an appeal to the British and the United States powers to back the Tunisian viewpoint or lose Tunisia for the West. The outlook is, we are told, hopeful. Corollary to this, American good offices envoy Robert Murphy and his British opposite number Harold Bealey are in Paris to see French leaders in an effort to end the Franco-Tunisian dispute. For a clarification and a forecast at the United Nations, our NBC UN correspondent Pauline Frederick provides us with an exclusive interview with Mongi Slim, the ambassador to the United States and permanent representative at the United Nations.
Mr. Ambassador, President Bourguiba says the United States must side with Tunisia by the 20th or risk a break between Tunisia and the West. What do you expect the United States to do?
We expect the United States to take a clear stand concerning the outstanding problems between Tunisia and France. We are convinced that the United States will adopt a position which will be in conformity with her own traditional principles of equity, logic, and justice. The first step must be the withdrawal of the French troops from all the country. The next step will be to reach a friendly settlement in the Algerian problem and may endanger peace in that area of the world.
Well, now, do you expect that the troops should be withdrawn from Tunisia and the Algerian question must be settled by the 20th?
It could not be done by the 20th, but we want that France must recognize the principle of the withdrawal of French troops from Tunisia, and this withdrawal must be effective as soon as possible. We expect the United States to facilitate a settlement of these questions.
Well, now, if it doesn't take this stand that you hope for, what will happen? Will Tunisia bring the question back to the UN Security Council?
We are then sorry to say that our country may begin to despair about the future. We know very well that each time there was oppression of any kind in the world, the United States sided the oppressed people, and we wonder why this is not true in our case. We do hope that the mission of good offices will be a successful one, but if the mission happens to fail, we would be ready to bring back the Tunisian question to the Security Council.
Would Tunisia be ready to turn to the Soviet Union for help if it didn't get satisfaction from the Security Council?
We'll accept help from any friendly country which actually and effectively believes, as we do, in the principles of the United Nations Charter and is guided by them in all circumstances.
In just 60 seconds, bowling and big business in the United States. But first, hear this.
Everywhere in America this week, people are celebrating the first observance of National Library Week for a better read, better informed nation. To dedicate this week, the distinguished actor, Mr. Henry Fonda, will read a unique joint declaration by the two living ex-presidents of the United States marking the occasion. Mr. Fonda.
The Bible tells us that the truth shall make men free. We Americans know that if freedom means anything, it means the right to think. And the right to think means the right to read. Anything written anywhere by any man at any time. Print is our password to truth. It opens the richest empire man knows, the empire of the human heart and mind. Men die, devices change, success and fame run their course. But within the walls of even the smallest library in our land lie the treasures, the wisdom, and the wonder of man's greatest adventures on this earth. Signed, Herbert Hoover and Harry Truman.
Bowling is far and away the most popular participation sport in the United States. Life, this week, devotes a picture essay to bowling, not just the fine points of the game, but bowling as an institution. There's a new luxury world in bowling. And from coast to coast, there are lavish installations for the bowlers. They include such alluring enticements as deluxe restaurants, entire recreation areas with pool rooms, kindergarten-type playrooms for the kiddies, complete with closed-circuit TV monitors whereby the mothers can watch the children as they play. Typical of these emporia of the bowling aficionados is the 19th Avenue Bowl in San Mateo, California, near San Francisco. NBC's Ed Arno talks with Carl Johnson, general manager of the 19th Avenue Bowl, about it.
Normally speaking, bowling has been primarily a men's sport, and the accent here is on the women.
Well, women are a brand new market in bowling. It's just been within the last few years that the women have become serious bowlers. The new trend in bowling alleys, a little bit of luxury added to the place, relieving them of the responsibility of their children by putting in nursery facilities.
And what facilities do you have in it?
Oh, the nursery equipment, standard nursery equipment that we purchase from the same suppliers that furnish all the nursery schools. And small children's toys and games.
What's the general age of the Moppets?
Well, we try to control it between the age group of about 2 and 5. However, if they can walk in under their own power, well, we take them.
How many do you handle over any given day?
Our big days in there run as high as 75 and 80 children over the period of the day.
Do you think that you would have the women that you have on the bowling alleys there on the bowling alleys if you didn't have equipment such as the nursery you have here?
No, definitely we wouldn't. They come here and bowl because we do have the facilities to take care of their children.
Now that we've heard how the mother and the kiddies are taken care of, here's another way that bowling is helping the ladies.
One of the most unique bowling organizations has been formed in Chicago. It demands pounds as well as pins for all of its members. It's known as Hip Hips Away. The organization lives up to its name, too. At least that's the attempt of this women's bowling league. The gals advocate slimming up by the simple process of knocking down pins. Watchdog of this unique group is Miss Ann Remus of the Gateway Recreation, where the ladies do their bowling. Ann, how do you know the gals aren't cheating a little bit with their figures?
Oh, I don't think they can, because when they first come in into our establishment, we weigh them in.
Mm-hmm.
And every week we weigh them in before they bowl, and we photograph them the first week. So we take pictures before and after.
What happens if some young miss happens to pick up a few ounces instead of shedding weight as she's supposed to, Ann?
Well, we have terrific penalties for them. They pay 25 cents for every pound they put on, and we make them wear a big sign on their back, which they dislike tremendously.
What is a sign, should I ask?
Porky.
The Hoopla King has an interesting word for you in just a moment on life and the world.
Men, maybe you've forgotten how different a good old-fashioned ale can taste. But once you taste Pabst Old Tankard Ale, you won't forget it. It's an ale to remember, with a genuine dry flavor that conjures up visions of old England and wayside pubs where armored heroes could refresh their thirsts. For a night's reward, ask for Pabst Old Tankard Ale. Look for the Copper Knight on bottles and copper cans. Ask for it at your tavern. Another fine product of Pabst Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
They say that any institution is nothing more than the lengthened shadow of a man. Well, if that's true, then visualize this portrait. The man, J.E. Doc Webb, height 5 feet 5 inches, age late 50s. The lengthened shadow, a drugstore that covers 6 city blocks and does $3 million of business yearly. And it's more than a drugstore, it is called Webb City. You can buy everything in this drugstore, from drug items to a complete house of furniture. Life and the world felt that a man of this dimension had much to tell us, particularly when we've been reading in the papers that Florida has had a bad year, and Doc Webb's Webb City is located in St. Petersburg, Florida. So here's the story as told to Rich Fowley.
Of all the places in the United States, what caused you to pick St. Petersburg to come and start this wonderful business?
Well, back in 24, I had a friend who had constantly speaking of the boom in Florida. And so, on my vacation, I was then working at a drugstore in Knoxville, Tennessee. So we decided to come to Florida. Florida seemed to me paradise itself. So I decided Florida for me.
Doctor, what do you think that fate has in store for Florida, St. Petersburg, and even more important, Webb City?
There is no limit to Florida. Florida will, in my opinion, will be a Los Angeles all over the state, bigger and better.
Was Webb City as it is today planned, or did you just keep expanding to meet the expanding St. Petersburg?
There's no such thing as planning as then as Webb City is today. However, I had the yen to enter and have a city of my own. When I was a kid, I wanted to have a young town or a city or something by the side of the road that sold most every commodity.
And
retail merchandising, it was in the blood.
You certainly did that. There's no doubt about that. How many items offhand will you say,
I would say
being sold?
I would say about 500,000 items.
And how many people do you have to employ to sell these items?
1,800. A little better than 1,800.
Doc, I would like for you to give us some of your philosophy on life and business.
Well, all of my life, I have been a hard worker. It gives me great satisfaction and happiness to feel I am helping others and putting something back into a world I have gotten so much out of. I have tried to build a business respected and admired by men. Progressing, expanding, putting more people to work is my very life. Keeping busy is the answer to a lot of misery. There are two most necessary ingredients, in my opinion, to become a good merchant. First, to have horse sense, and then never know when you're whipped. Of course, if you are fortunate enough to be related to a stubborn Tennessee jackass, it certainly helps.
And that's Life and the World. I'll be back in just a moment.
How about it? Like excitement, fun, surprises? If so, the place to go is your Oldsmobile dealer's big Oldsmobility open house, a gala celebration of Oldsmobile's first place position in the medium price class. And most of the excitement, fun, and surprises are centered on the great new 58 Rocket Olds itself and in Oldsmobility, the dramatically different way to go that matches the rocket age we live in. There's excitement in the rhythmic response of the greatest rocket engines ever, fun in the feel of the buoyant smoothness of Old's pneumatic ride that makes every road a boulevard. Your Oldsmobile dealer is set to give you top appraisal on your present car, the greatest deal ever on a great new rocket engine Oldsmobile. So make a date this week for sure to attend the big Oldsmobility open house at your authorized Oldsmobile quality dealers. He'll prove to you how easy it is to step up to a beautiful 1958 Oldsmobile.
This is Leon Pearson, substituting for Frank Blair, and concluding this 172nd edition of Life and the World. Tonight's program was developed through the facilities of Life and NBC News.
Former President Truman and Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt visit Walter O'Keefe on Nightline tonight over most of the same NBC stations.